Okay. Well, let's start a few minutes earlier. I promise to get you all out of here by noon. Otherwise, we're not that credible. It's 3 hours. It's a long Saturday morning. I made an apology to the brother out there because last minute they printed the outlines that is in your hand, which I'm not using. And actually, that's the second time I did that. Last time it's the same outlines. I didn't use it. This time I thought I learned my lesson. I didn't. We printed it and now I'm not using it. So I cried wolf 2 times and that's not a good track record. And, I still may use it sometimes, so just don't throw it away, but we're not using it this morning, obviously. Now, let us continue with our talk, getting a little bit into these really, really dear scriptures and verses in Psalm 23. remember the burden that I have is to touch the Lord's shepherding, in this case, in the Old Testament, as a way for us to appreciate just the breadth and the, in this case, really as a kind of a type. Jehovah in the Old Testament here. I don't know whether the right word is type. This really is a prophetic word of the New Testament reality. You know, Jehovah is the New Testament Jesus. It's the same word. So when the Israel, Jewish people, they call Jehovah, it is the same as us calling Jesus. God, our salvation, God saves. And so here it's a Psalm of David. I really don't know at what point of David's life did he write this Psalm. I think it's worth a little digging into. But nevertheless, it's, you know, David was a shepherd when he was a kid. And so it's a shepherd writing about a shepherd. So you have to give him a lot of credit that he's not talking about things he did not understand. He was a shepherd. In fact, he was actually shepherding when Samuel went there and found him and anointed him to be the king to replace Saul. And so he knew what was to be a shepherd. And when he wrote this psalm, I believe surely he was divinely inspired, but I think he resort to a lot of his own experiences as, as far as what a shepherd does. And so it's very, very pertinent, very, very experiential when he wrote concerning God being his shepherd. And this is what he went through, what King David went through, and testified of how Jehovah was shepherding him in so many ways, so many ways. And David is a picture of the warring Christ, the fighting Christ, whereas Solomon, his son, is a type of the enthroned and reigning Christ. So a great part of his life was running away from Saul, who was just doing everything to persecute him, to to kill him, to destroy him. And a life of suffering, a life of persecution that David lived. So here it is. Now let me continue. I will get you out here, don't worry. This psalm again, in what I covered already more or less in a general way. Okay. First, again, in the so-called first stage, in this organic shepherding of the Lord, right? This is talking about the Lord. We can say, Jesus is my shepherd. You'll be just all right. That's absolutely correct. The pneumatic Christ, and that is the Lord Jesus living within us to be that shepherd. He's not shepherding us outside of you to protect you, to do this or that. He's in our environment. He works out all things in our lives to accomplish his shepherding of us, that's for sure. But his shepherding is inward. It is subjective. It is personal. It is intimate. It's very, very close. He's not doing something upon you. He is right there in you and with you every step of the way. I would say he is even enduring what you are enduring. He is even, in a way, suffering what you are suffering. He's going through the same valley of death while you are walking through it. So, now first, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Me. Okay, not you, me, as he does you. Personally, each one. Green, this is all ministry, okay? Green, and you'll find it in a lot of the footnotes in the recovery version. Green signifies the riches of life. So the green pastures are Christ himself as our nourishment. How can Christ be our green pasture like this today, our feeding place, our food? Well, that's because our Christ have gone through a wonderful process of his becoming a man, his living that human life, dying, and then also resurrection. It's interesting to note that the base for the Greek word economy or economia in the New Testament is has the same origin as that for the word pasture. Pasture in John 10:9, you know, the Lord led his sheep to the good shepherd led his sheep to the pasture. Implying that the thought, you know, oikonomia means distribute, to dispense wealth and riches and supply to meet people's need, like in a household. So it is also translated in the New Testament, the word stewardship. Economy and stewardship are the same words. So here the implication is when pasture is mentioned, the distribution of food or pasture to the flock, to the sheep, right? So Psalm 23, in this respect, is a psalm on God's economy. You may say that. Is a picture of that. Is a picture of God dispensing himself in his household administration ask Green Pastures into his chosen people, that's, and redeemed people, that's us, to ultimately build them up to be the house of Jehovah. We all should know this. This is the definition of God's economy. So really, this psalm, this little psalm, is the picture of God's economy right there, in a very lovely way, right? About shepherding and being shepherded. In his organic shepherding, this pneumatic Christ leads us. Now we're talking about us, not David, okay? We're talking about you and I. He leads me beside waters of rest. The water of rest, water always refers to the Spirit. And that is the all-inclusive, consummated, compounded Spirit of Christ after his resurrection. So whether it is the pasture, the solid food, or the waters, the restful beverage for our drink, they all refer to Christ, the shepherd, as the Spirit. So the first thing in shepherding, the Lord shepherding, is to feed, is to give drink, resulting in rest and in peace and in total satisfaction. So as we think about this concerning Christ, I would like you to already be thinking about your care of others, because that's my burden, that Irvine would become such a shepherding church, and every saint, literally every saint, more or less, would be a extension of him as a little shepherd to shepherd others. Whether you shepherd one other or two or three others or more, that depends on your capacity, ability, and so on. But the principle is we should all participate in this shepherding today. So as he is dispensing himself as the very, very first step of shepherding to be food and drink, resulting in peace and rest, we should be doing the same thing. This is really, shepherding is not what I call fighting fires, troubleshooting, solving problems. Today, even some elders think shepherding, that's shepherding. So if you don't have a problem, you don't need shepherding, because you're not doing okay, so we come and shepherd you. You got a problem. That's wrong. Problem or not, every one of us need to eat. Everyone needs to drink. Everyone needs peace and rest. Every one of us. We all need shepherding. In fact, the church life is a life of mutual shepherding, where we care for each other in this kind of a dispensing way. In this organic shepherding, the pneumatic Christ does another thing. He restores my soul. I talked a little bit about this already. For our soul, your soul and mine, to be restored, that means for us to be revived. You are kind of weak, and you need a restoration. You're sick. You need a kind of restorative, thank you, Travis, restorative healing. This is another drink. This is not Starbucks. This is whatever it is. Okay, all right. I need some drink to restore me. Okay. So, and then this restoring, I said already, includes reviving you, healing you, strengthening you. You're in a hospital bed, you're whatever, you're in some weakness, you're sick with something. So he would come to restore our soul, to revive us, to make us good again. So this has the thought of renewing us and transforming us. You know, the Christian life is full of revival cycles. Normally, you know, you were doing well, then after some time you begin to decline, then you need a restoration work, right? Even we're in the Lord's recovery, it means a restoration against a declining or degenerative or degraded situation of the church. So the church needs to be revived. So, and particularly our soul, when we talk about renewing and transforming, we're not talking so much about our spirit. Our spirit is quite good, quite okay. It is always our soul that gives us trouble. Our soul, that is where the problem is. And it is here that the, it is this, that is the soul that the Lord would restore. In the New Testament, the Lord is called the shepherd of our what? Souls. Not the shepherd of our spirit, because it is our soul that needs to be shepherded. It is our soul that needs reviving and restoration and renewal and transformation. That he does, this Christ, all the time within us, even now. So as the shepherd, he's called actually not just the shepherd and overseer of our soul. See, overseer means he has oversight. He exercises, this shepherd, this wonderful shepherd, exercises continual, constant oversight of the condition of our real person, that is the person within, that nobody can see, nobody knows, but he knows because he's overseeing that. He's watching over us as a flock, inwardly in this way. And so, as the overseer, he's also the shepherd to care for the welfare of our entire inner being. So we should feel very free to open our whole entire inner being to the Lord. Things that you cannot tell anyone, you can tell him. Am I right? Yes. Anything and everything. The anguish that is in your heart, the disappointment that you're experiencing, the pain you're going through, or the joy that you're experiencing, the happiness, your anxieties, your concerns, your apprehension, your fears, whatever it may be, all these turmoil in your soul, he cares, he oversees, he shepherds that. Let him shepherd you. Let him shepherd you like none other. In this organic shepherding, this Christ guides me on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Guide us means we're walking, right? We're moving. We are on a journey That's so you need some guidance. So the Lord guides us on a path. What is that? Brother Lee said this. He said, that is to walk according to the Spirit. It's our daily walk. Our daily walk is our daily journey. Today, Saturday, all right? March 23rd, 2024, you are walking a portion of that journey, this daily walk today. Let him guide you. Lord, guide me today. Help me to walk in the Spirit. Help me today to walk according to the Spirit. Just pray this way. On the path of righteousness. Why? Because as we walk this way, as we go on this journey, we will fulfill God's requirement for us to be righteous, to live righteously, to have a righteous walk. You cannot do it by yourself. I cannot, by my natural life and my, you know, resolve and my determination. It can only go for 5 minutes, maybe. Yet, in Matthew 5:48 or something, we are required as God's kingdom people to be righteous as the Father is. I mean, that is a tall order. That is a tall order. You can't make it. I cannot make it. Absolutely. But someone is here to guide us on that path that result in that kind of righteousness. Or else, how can Paul say, be perfect? You can be perfect? No way. But he said that. Be perfect. Well, because that perfect one, this shepherd, is perfecting us, is completing us, is helping us in our walk on a daily basis. I mean, there are many times you just throw up your hands, right? Say, Lord, I just can't do it. I don't know how to get through this one. I mean, this is too hard. This is just way beyond me. This is tough. That's true. That's the end of your natural life, but the end of the natural life is the beginning of his life. Let him take over. Let him guide me, you, every day, every day. You don't know how to handle your husband. You don't know how to deal with his kids. You don't know how to deal with this problem with in your family or whatever the things may be. I don't know. But he will guide you. And he's guiding you. And he's guiding us for his name's sake. It's not even for us. It's for his own name's sake. For the sake of his person, he would do that. Wow, I mean, that thought is just incredible. How did this happen? For his name's sake, he is guiding us. You know, the church life is wonderful. But sometimes it's pretty hard. So some just kind of give up, some drops out. It's how long would this be to endure this church life? Well, the Lord's shepherding is what will ensure, even guarantee, that we will stay on this pathway. Really, this is the way of the cross that leads to righteousness, that leads to the kingdom, that none of us, by gritting our teeth, can make it. By willing, you know, with our willpower, can do it. Only he can. His shepherding, day after day. Looking back, don't you have experience like, how did I get through that? Well, because someone was guiding. Because now we're really talking, when we talk righteousness, we're talking about the kingdom. This is a serious matter. And his shepherding is going to take care of us in living this kingdom life, which is the reality of the church life that we're in today. Sometimes in this kingdom life, God would exercise his administration, his government, and may I say, not to scare us, just the fact, some discipline over us. The Father chastises the Son whom he loves. If the Father does not do that, that one is not his Son. So we're talking about his discipline of love, the discipline of the Holy Spirit in our lives, things that happen. All to so that we can bear the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So righteousness would result as God's governmental hand is upon us, as he's ruling over us, so that, I mean, the Lord is there inwardly shepherding us, strengthening us, guiding us, until we live out Christ. That life-giving spirit shepherd is there to help us. Now, under this organic shepherding, the next stage is, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I do not fear evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This simply refers to his invisible presence in darkness, in a valley. My, how special this is, how personal and how intimate this is. This presence affords us the comfort, even as a rescue and as a sustaining power to us when we're going through these troubles. So, dear sisters, when we go through the valley, and we do that from time to time, the best thing is to rest and remain in the Lord. I did not say remain in whatever thing that you're going through. God is sovereign. He has his timing and his ways, but we remain in him, in this shepherd, and enjoy his invisible presence. Perhaps that will shorten the passage through the valley. It will reduce the shadows, and it will remove the death. So here the Lord uses his rod, which is a symbol of authority, for what? For our protection. You know, a lot of times when we go through things, the enemy would like to come in to do a number on you while you're in a vulnerable condition. The enemy exploits weaknesses to work against us. But no matter what we're going through, he's there to protect with his rod, with his authority, to keep the enemy away. You know, the Lord's Prayer, so-called Lord's Prayer, right? It's not in a formulaic way. What is that word? Keep me from evil. There's one line in the Lord's Prayer. Keep me from evil. It is a good prayer, and it's a necessary prayer. Lord, keep me from evil today. Keep me from Satan today. Protect me today. The Lord's staff, not just a rod, that staff is positively for guidance, for instruction. You know, we need the Lord's instruction all the time. You know, the Lord instructs us with his word. And actually, a good part of our shepherding of others is through a tongue that is instructed. So we can instruct other saints, other ones, other people, the Lord, according to the Lord's instruction of us. And this implies his word. The Lord shepherds us with his word very much, very, very much. It's for direction. We need direction in our lives. What next? What should I do in this? How should I go about that? Don't rely on your understanding. It's not trustworthy. You're smart, you know, you're figuring things out. Let him direct. And also, that staff also sustains us. So, especially while we're in a valley situation, we need his staff and rod to do all these things. And he shall bring us through. Bring us through, because he is the resurrection. Through death into life. He is shepherding us through death into life. I would even say the cross is implied here. That the cross, dear sisters, don't be afraid, is part of his shepherding us. Under his shepherding, the next stage, he spreads a table in front of, before us, or before me, in the presence of my adversaries. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. So the Lord spreads this table, this marvelous table before us, in the presence of Satan, and the evil spirits, and the demons, all our adversaries. Yeah, it's war, it's battle, but the Lord lays out a table, a banquet in front of us. Not only so, he anoints our head with oil, and he fills our cup to overflow. The cup, overflowing cup, always implies overflowing blessing. Just it cannot even just be contained, it overflows. You know, the definition of blessing is something that is extra. It's not wages, it's not salary, it's not recompense, you know, just compensation for your work. That's not blessing. Blessing is beyond that. God gives you something beyond what you owe, what you're due. way beyond the overflowing cup. I look at back at my life up to this point, it is just a cup of blessing. It's nothing I did. Somehow it overflowed. And so often, even in tough times, difficult, challenging situations, there's a festal banquet. There's a banquet there for some strange reason. So the ministry's marvelous interpretation is right here. We have the triune God. The Son is the table, the feast, the Spirit is that anointing oil. And the Father is the source of that, the blessing in the cup, in that cup. Lastly, under his this organic shepherding of this pneumatic one, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of Jehovah for the length of my days. So goodness refers to the grace of Christ. Loving kindness refers to the love of the Father. And follow, that word follow, these two things will follow us. That follow refers to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And here you have 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Son, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit are with us. So now you know that so-called benediction, you know, of 2 Corinthians 13:14 is the triune God's full-scale shepherding. And all the three things are with us all the time. Actually, he shepherds us with he himself. That's what it means. This enjoyment of our triune God and his wonderful shepherding will usher us into the house of God finally. Who's this house? What is this house? Number one, this house is simply Christ. Number two, this house is the church today, the real church today. And ultimately, this Christ is the new Jerusalem. You know, you go to read Revelation, shepherding is there. And he will shepherd us to the springs of life and wipe away all tears from our eyes. In eternity, there'll be no more dissatisfaction or disappointment. He will still be shepherding us to the living springs. So I conclude. From the time of the Lord's departure in his first coming to the time that he's of his return in his coming soon, we pray and hope. We all are under such a shepherding personally. Personally. And as the church collectively, and the burden is today that we would imitate this God. Paul did say, imitate God. And Peter did say, shepherd the flock according to God. According to Psalm 23, shepherd one another, shepherd the lambs, shepherd his sheep, and shepherd his flock. I stop here. I'm beyond by 1 minute. So I hope you will forgive me. Have just a little prayer with the other one next to you, and we can go after a minute of prayer. Amen. Amen.